Welcome to Walking Between the Worlds with Almeen. This hour, you will receive powerful revelations of a world where mystery and miracles are commonplace. Here's your host, Almeen.
The nature of reality, something that has tantalized and yet eluded seers for many eons. Today, I wish to share with you, to the best of my ability, all that I've experienced over the years of understanding the nature of reality, the nature of the one being in whom we dwell and have our existence. To understand the degrees of realness is something, again, that has eluded man when we speak of one thing as unreal and another as real. Did they know, the seers, that through the eons have told people that reality is unreal, that that can vary, that there are, in fact, degrees of it? Let's see what that means today. Can we become more real or permanent as individuations? Is the individuated mother of all life more or less real than the sea of consciousness, which we generally refer to as the infinite, that she is the personification of? Learn these answers today and discover what the secret writings of Isis, guarded by the Order of the White Rose in Ireland, reveal about the nature of the goddess. First of all, to take a look at this issue of degrees of realness. There is one original source of life. And we will look a little later exactly where that source is located. The answer is enormously surprising. But this one real source of life has reflected into its outer environment portions of itself, clustering the nature of its own being into clusters or individuations. In other words, what we can look at as our individuated existences is a mirror that the infinite being, the one real being, expressing as the many, that real being held up to itself a mirror. The mirror was meant to reflect back its face. After all, a blind person, or someone that has never seen their face, how could we know what we look like until we see it as a reflection? If that mirror were thrown upon the ground and shattered into tiny bits, and the infinite were to peer into these shattered bits, each bit would reveal a fraction of the infinite's face. So this is how, as individuations, we reflect the uniqueness that seers have told us, that there is no one else like any of us in existence. We are totally unique in that we are a specific portion of the infinite's face, reflecting back to her that which is. Now, over the eons of time, multiple times, and in fact it has happened on what on our calendar looks like the last 2 years, that multiple beings in the cosmos, during leaps of consciousness, did not deserve the right to live. And what happened is that they were absorbed back into the sea of consciousness, in some instances, later, to reform as higher individuations, but sometimes not. And then what the scriptures refer to as the second death takes place. So if we take a look at that, it goes like this. For example, in February of 2005, the earth led what was an unprecedented ascension, in that the earth started to ascend and started, in fact, to pull all other life into ascension. Before that time, there was enormous interference with human beings. Millions of beings were being abducted by hostile aliens that had seen that somehow in the future, humanity would pull their societies into total oblivion. At that time, the Earth, in fact, did start to pull certain races that had been living at such repressible and, in fact, reprehensible levels of life with great disrespect for the interconnectedness of life and the value of life. It did indeed start to pull them into oblivion. Those races started one by one to disappear as the earth rose higher and higher, and like a pearl that pulls a whole string of pearls behind it, the rest of the cosmos started to raise. At the higher levels, multiple races and beings that had been hostile to life had no longer earned the right to exist. These races experienced the second death. They were pulled into a reabsorption into the sea of consciousness in which we all exist. And in reabsorbing, gave the rest of us life, energy, and increased power, which in turn sped up the ascension. Now, my dear brothers and sisters of light, it is quite phenomenal if we consider the following. We have been in eons of descension. The history of these descension cycles were kept by a race known as the Darklings, which was a forgotten race that emerged in January of 2007 and said, "Have you forgotten about us?" They live at the bottom of the sea, and they are quite minute, but there are more of them than there actually are of humanity on the surface. And they have been designated as the history keepers for the Mother Goddess who gave life to all existence. The Mother Goddess had asked them to keep the history of the cycles of the fall. And I was very, very privileged to receive this from them, and it forms the second half of the book called The Gift of the Unicorns, which is now available through our office or Amazon.com or in most of your New Age bookstores. So they gave us the history of the cycles of descension, and even as the earth started to ascend, history and portions of it that we were not aware of. During the descension cycles, it was the martyrdom of those who were the light bearers, the way showers, and their suffering that produced insights that helped to keep light alive. How ironic is it that it's during the ascension that the decease and termination of unworthy life forms provided us with the impetus, the energy, and the increased power to increase our light in turn that helped us with the ascension. We were the ones that paid the price during the descension cycles. That ended. And especially during the crucial time of August in 2006, when the Mother of All Life officially declared to the cosmos that all the unknown portions of her being had, in fact, been solved. So you can see that this is the second death of portions of the mirror that reflected to her that which she was not. Now, what would be the life forms that would again emerge at higher levels later on in the ascension? Well, those were the ones that did their task to the best of their ability, but the tasks became obsolete. And they had certainly earned the right to life, but their reward was increased life. And a very good example of this are the angelic ones. In The Secrets of the Hidden Realms, as well as some of our other books, we have given a glossary of just a smidgen of the new angelic beings that have been called forth by Mother at these higher realms at which we now exist. Although some of the archangels like Michael and Raphael and Gabriel and so forth still exist, Metatron's another example, multitudes of the angels that have been listed in angel books in layers started to cease to exist, only to emerge with new names, new identities, if you will, if you identify them with the roles they play at higher levels. This is not a second death. This is, in fact, a form of resurrection, where at a higher level, they are resurrected. Now, who else was it that disappeared, that had not earned the right to live? Many on earth. And in some instances, cataclysms removed some of these beings. In other instances, the bodies are walking around, in fact, empty, fulfilling the last bit of their contract, and then they will die. And in other instances, new beings came into the body, and Mother eliminated the old patterns. And in some instances, people in your environment will have manifested tremendous changes since 2005 at one point or another, where they suddenly sort of received a great epiphany, if you will, and started to see the light in terms of acting in a more life-enhancing manner towards others. When there are people like that in your environment where there's been a drastic change, it is because it is a walk-in in that Mother created out of the sea of consciousness a new being, because the contract that that body had to fulfill in terms of serving others was as yet undone. Those are some of the options around beings that cease to exist as mirrors to the infinite during the last 2 years, during 2005, 2006, and the portions of 2007. Now, my brothers and sisters, are we only reflections of the infinite? Or can we be more? Is there a point at which immortality or ascension can actually make us more real? And what exactly does it mean to be more real? We shall take a look at that.
In this, the fourth book, The Ring of Truth, which chronicles Almeen's journey, she tells of the promise and the potential inherent in the resurgence of the feminine principle, increasingly felt in all aspects of current human experience. The operation of new laws governing the cosmos are explained together with the reasons for their creation. We are introduced to Mother, the primal creative energy that pervades every aspect of existence. We learn of her love and her laws and how to incorporate them into every thought and act. We are given samples of her divine language, its meaning, and its power. Mother's great gift to humanity, the healing power of Belvaspada, is revealed. This new approach to dissolving disease of mind, spirit, and body replaces previously existing methodologies. Application of its techniques removes old barriers of physically oriented existence and opens a broad pathway to a life of joy and fulfillment. Discover Mother and the Ring of Truth, as well as all of Almeen's books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
You've been walking between the worlds with Almeen. To learn more about Almeen and the mystical keys of life, log on now to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
Perhaps to understand that issue of being a reflection and the possibility of being more than a reflection, we need to go back far, far eons ago, when the individuated Mother that represents all life made her first creation. Now, perhaps it is also expedient that we take a look at what exactly existed for eons of time, in aloneness, examining within as much as she could the portions of her beings through various inner senses that she had. But external senses were as yet not developed because there was no such thing as external. How could there be? All there was the mother. But then the mother created a deliberate myopic vision within herself. In other words, like a flashlight that you can diffuse the light into a bigger circle or narrow it down into a very defined, small, bright circle. Her inner vision, if you will, encompassed a very large section of her inner being. What she did is she forfeited some vision in order to contract that light, that illuminated portion of her inner being, because that's all there is. There is nothing outside of the Infinite Mother. Even as an individuated being, the layers and layers of life beyond her are simply bodies upon bodies upon bodies, and in some cases, bodies of potential. So the mother of all life narrowed her vision to create a very bright, small spot that she illuminated within her being. This was the first creation of, yes, if you were to call it that, of a separate space. In other words, the small bright circle would define where she would create the mirrors that would reflect back to her that which she is. So my brothers and sisters, she created at first the one that is the externalized reflection at the time of her electrical parts, all that represents her individuated beings, nervous system, brain, pineal, etc. She also at that point created an externalization of her feminine parts, and that goddess became her negative or feminine passive pole. And the individuated mother started to pulse between herself and her externalized feminine being, which is another goddess or mother. To hold a space open, there has to be a goddess within it. The mother that actually was pulsing with her feminine aspect is more real than the goddess that she externalized. So, in other words, now we start to find not only created life as less real, because the mirror obviously is not as real as that which looks into the mirror, but we also find that there are less real goddesses out there that are nevertheless the mother goddesses of all life. But remember this as we continue to explain the nature of reality. The positive goddess is the most real. She is the most masculine, proactive goddess. Because although the infinite one being that is real is feminine in that there are more feminine components to her than masculine, she is nevertheless containing everything that we would view as external to her, which it isn't, but everything is nevertheless within her. So the first creation then that she made was her externalized masculine parts and a twin, if you were, with the externalized feminine parts so that she could interact with them. This was her soulmate. And it is what we know as the God of truth, the Father of all life. Now, the Father of all life and herself created a symbiotic relationship that was of a very specific nature. Mother is boundless. There are no limits to her. Nevertheless, he is not. He was created only to be within that sphere of bright light that is the first inner space that she formed, yet it was treated like an outer space. You know, the mirror is outside of herself, so that she could at least examine that small portion of herself. Now, as mother's joy, and there are 96 pure frequencies, my brothers and sisters, that we have spoken about as the heart energies, the states of being, and the emotions as well as the physical expressions. 96 pure tones that make up the music of the spheres, the inner voice of the mother herself. And those are listed in various books. The Ring of Truth in detail discusses the pure emotions. We have the Gift of the Unicorns that discusses the heart energies and so forth. Now, as she created him, her joy at being able to interact with this God the Father was so large that these emotions arose within her with such strength that stars were formed across far-flung space. Flowers grew. Beings arose. Every time these frequencies would arise, creations would form. But to interact with her, he could not understand the boundaryless nature of her emotions and frequencies. He tried to make sense of it. And what arose was an internal dialogue in his mind. Now, we have in many of our books discussed how to get rid of the internal dialogue, because what that is ego identification. Mother could not understand why he suddenly started to evaluate her exterior form more than her interior vastness. Now, what happened was subsequent puzzlement for both of them. They could not understand the changes that took place. But every time she interacted with him and her joy and her wonderful frequencies of passion and happiness and all the things that he evoked in her spilt even more, he became even more firm in holding his boundaries. This interaction could not have been foreseen when she made him. And it was necessary to create a screen, if you will, upon which this interaction could play out. Mother had created him as a mirror, but he had started to create a mirror for her that she was not, but she didn't know if that was her or not. In other words, he started to reflect to her, taking things at face value. He started to reflect to her the five senses only. These inner frequencies are, in fact, internal senses. To the degree that things evoke your passion or your joy or your love or your trust, they are sensed by the interior world. Mother was dwelling in the interior world of the 96 senses, and Father started to create a world where the five senses determined that which he could perceive. So Mother did not know what she was and what she wasn't. Was he reflecting to her that which she was not? He was in fact designed to reflect that which she was. But like a candle in the sun, my brothers and sisters, how can one know that you are light until you see that which you're not? How can the candle know that it is light when all there is light as it dwells within the sun? It needs to at times leave the sun in order to see what it's like when there is no light. And so it was that in order to contain the chaos and the bewilderment that grew in both of them, that the screen was created, and upon it was the reflections that reflected not only that which mother was, but that which father represented, which was the outer world, an illusional world, for there is nothing outside of the oneness. And so creation was made, a reflection of that which was and that which wasn't. There were those who represented illusion and those who were the perception getters and would get the perception that those perception givers would reflect. And thus we were first of all created as a reflection.
In this, the fourth book, The Ring of Truth, which chronicles Almaine's journey, she tells of the promise and the potential inherent in the resurgence of the feminine principle, increasingly felt in all aspects of current human experience. The operation of new laws governing the cosmos are explained together with the reasons for their creation. We are introduced to Mother, the primal creative energy that pervades every aspect of existence. We learn of her love and her laws and how to incorporate them into every thought and act. We are given samples of her divine language, its meaning, and its power. Mother's great gift to humanity, the healing power of Belvaspada, is revealed. This new approach to dissolving disease of mind, spirit, and body replaces previously existing methodologies. Application of its techniques removes old barriers of physically oriented existence and opens a broad pathway to a life of joy and fulfillment. Discover Mother and the Ring of Truth, as well as all of Almaine's books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
You've been walking between the worlds with Almaine. To learn more about Almaine and the mystical keys of life, log on now to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
But now, we will take a look at what exactly happened inside the screen, which is individuated life as we know it. In December, when I was visiting the Order of the White Rose, a sacred order of masters, all of them ascended masters or in the God Kingdom, that live in Ireland. And they do, in fact, hold meetings there that I come to and my students are invited to, that can travel to Ireland and be part of them. But the Order of the White Rose had for eons prepared, through traveling back and forth through a time travel tunnel from ancient Egypt, the time upon Ireland when the Order of the White Rose would once again become resurrected. It was resurrected in December of 2006. And it started at that time to create an unlocking of the great libraries of Isis. My brothers and sisters, I was most privileged to enter these libraries and choose which portions of it I wished to translate. The result is the book called Opening the Doors of Heaven, Revelations of the Mysteries of Isis. What I chose to translate was deliberately chosen because it dovetailed with the information given by the Darklings in the Histories of the Cycles, that is basically life on that television screen. And I chose that which would dovetail and enhance and augment their information. There was enough scrolls that if I translated them for the next 100 years, I would not be able to finish. But that information at least seemed pertinent so that those two books go hand in hand. So, my brothers and sisters, from the libraries of Isis then, the following information is given. Mother and father themselves entered into that screen as projected reflections of their individuations. In other words, they were watching so that they could puzzle out the chaos that had happened from mother's vastness being attempted to be related to by father, who was limited to the spot of bright light. So they attempted to watch and learn from it so that that could be solved. But they also participated in the movie or the reflection upon the screen. The wild card is that although there were certain contracts made with the infinite by each of us, namely our destinies, we were given a wild card because it couldn't be predictable. Otherwise, you know, all we would have is the status quo, the information that mother and father already knew. They wanted to discover unknown ways in which life could be lived, which we mirrored for them. And what was given us, the wild card, was freedom of choice. Now, in the screen, multiple cycles of life existed. In other words, the story on the screen had many acts. And in fact, at one time, when it was seen that the screen story had to come to some sort of closure, there also was created 4 different screens running simultaneously, all of us, incidentally, living in each one of the 4. And that happened until August of 2006. And we did this to maximize our chances of finally bringing to conclusion cycles that had repeated themselves over and over with various variables in them. And so, my brothers and sisters, 96 different ways of life were tried. They were the pure frequencies. But somehow, they never managed to get those beings that mother and father had come to love as their creations out of the screen as being merely reflections. So, after 96 ways of trying to culminate the story with all its lessons so that there were no more unknown portions of this previous dilemma left, and mother could finally understood which portions of father's reflection she was and which portions she wasn't. We had to finally get a little desperate. So what we did is 4 distorted frequencies came into being. They were pain, protectiveness, they were anger, and they were fear. And those ended as being real in August of 2006. Finally, when those were introduced, we then created a situation where growth came through adversity. Lessons were learned through friction. To do this, there was a polarity difference created that was more than there was before. In other words, even previously, those that were reflecting that which we knew mother not to be were simply having an absence of some of those pure frequencies. But now, the polarity between the dark ones, if you will, reflecting that which mother was not, or at least the unknown portions which she didn't know whether she was or not until August of 2006, and those who reflected the light, namely those who reflected that which she knew she was, love, purity, innocence, etc. The distance between these two poles increased. The dark became darker by embodying the 4 discordant frequencies that had never before existed. And the light became lighter as they were given ample opportunity to turn the illusion that others were mirroring into insight. when two poles are closely together, the movement that that creates through life, because as we explained in Journey to the Heart of God, balance is not static. Balance is, in fact, dynamic. And we also discuss that in Secrets of the Hidden Realms, that there has to be movement, that perfection, if you will, is stasis. And when indulged in for more than a moment of equilibrium, will, in fact, produce stagnation. So there always is movement. But the further apart poles are, the movement speeds up. So in other words, we were like a truck filled with rocks that was trying to get up a slippery slope. We weren't managing with all the previous times because we just didn't have enough momentum. The poles between those who represented illusion and those who represented light weren't far enough apart. So after 96 different ways of trying to get up that hill, we finally succeeded. And we solved all unknown portions. My brothers and sisters, as of August of 2007, a most miraculous event happened. Mother, in fact, loved her children so much that those who, once their roles of representing illusion had been removed in 2006 in August, they had been given a chance to now act out their true natures for true growth and life-enhancing behavior to take place. Those who still chose not to do it, in fact, forfeited the right to exit that screen when the program was terminated. The energy that released helped the others to exit the screen that did, in fact, earn the right to life. So we exited the screen in August of 2007. What does that mean? That means that we at that time became not only a reflection, but an expression of that which Mother is. All beings alive today have at their foundation, assuming that they are not hollow bodies that are just playing out the last vestiges of the illusion that some insist on clinging to, but assuming that they are not those, all that have souls within them have goodness as their foundation and deserve the right of our respect. And perhaps by recognizing that, we can help them let go of any vestiges of illusion that they cling to. For illusion is now unreal. Illusion is unknown portions of Mother's being. She now understands what she is and what she isn't, of Father's mirroring to her. Beloved ones, all of us have become expressions of Mother's being. A vast step up. Then, a most miraculous event happened in September of 2007. Mother's love for the Father of all creation has been boundless. What is it that He has represented? The whole nervous system of that which He is. So in September, He became the expression of that nervous system. What is it that the rest of the creation represented? They previously were the reflection of the potential of one cell in Mother's pineal gland. But that was about to change.
In this, the fourth book, The Ring of Truth, which chronicles Almaine's journey, she tells of the promise and the potential inherent in the resurgence of the feminine principle, increasingly felt in all aspects of current current human experience, the operation of new laws governing the cosmos are explained together with the reasons for their creation. We are introduced to Mother, the primal creative energy that pervades every aspect of existence. We learn of her love and her laws and how to incorporate them into every thought and act. We are given samples of her divine language, its meaning, and its power. Mother's great gift to humanity, the healing power of Elvispada, is revealed. This new approach to dissolving disease of mind, spirit, and body replaces previously existing methodologies. Application of its techniques removes old barriers of physically oriented existence and opens a broad pathway to a life of joy and fulfillment. Discover Mother and the Ring of Truth, as well as all of Almeen's books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
You've been walking between the worlds with Almeen. To learn more about Almeen and the mystical keys of life, log on now to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
All of the cosmos, every planet, every creature on that planet, from the smallest amoeba to the largest giant or dragon, beloved ones, is but, has been but a reflection of the potential of one cell within Mother's being. That one cell has produced such diverse life. Then, the next step up as they exited the screen and became part of the whole bright ball of light. In other words, the screen is a portion that was created within that ball of light that the Father represented, as well as her other feminine aspect. They, as they exited the screen into that bright spot of light within her, they became not only the reflection of potential, they actually became the reflection of the one cell. Then Mother did the next step. She created a bright light around the former, smaller, bright light. And yet again, the Father, as well as all of creation, exited the bright light in which all creation took place into a slightly bigger bright light. And within creation, what happened is that no longer were we the potential of reflection of one cell in her pineal gland, but then we became the reflection of that one cell, and finally we became the reflection of the whole pineal gland. But Mother still was not satisfied. She wanted her children, who are so beloved to her, to be even more real. And at that time, in September of 2007, she created them as an expression of the pineal gland within her. Father himself became the expression of her electrical components. But yet again, the following was an issue. She wanted never to feel separated from him again. And she was determined to find a way to make him even yet more real. At that time, Mother decreed that Father's matter would henceforth be not only an expression of just her electrical system, but an expression of her whole self. But my brothers and sisters, as we have mentioned in many of the teachings, opposite matter is repelling right now. And still, Father's matter was not the same real matter that her individuation was. And so he was opposite matter. And even though there were many other factors that drew them closely together, Mother did not want any portion of them to be repelling one another. And so she created him as an externalization of all that she is. This was a monumental event, for it had been something they had both sought for eons of time, and it had taken that long for her to accomplish it. At that time, soon after, four of the male physical gods that live on earth today also became real. But what they became is they became real externalizations of the father's pineal gland. But it does mean that they have to some degree the same matter as mother, and to a larger degree the same matter as father. So, my brothers and sisters, this is our destiny. This is where we are heading, into a place of immortality as cosmos that is so real that we can embrace the mother and feel her as solid, that we are no longer just an expression of her, that we are, in fact, an externalization of her, making us more real. Now, who is the mother? Because you see, around the externalization, there are rings of light that she has prepared for her children as we grow and grow and grow, like a crib that can turn into a fold-out bed, that can turn into a double bed. She has prepared the space for our growth. Each of these spaces are kept open by one of her externalizations. Mother understood that it was a mistake to have created father with only masculine components, and the other goddess with only her feminine components. Because what that did is make goddesses that were not proactive enough and that could not contribute enough to the growth of existence. And it created God the Father in a way that he could not understand the unknown, which is a feminine function. Therefore, the goddesses that are now created as expressions of herself, holding these outer levels open, are in fact expressions of her whole, not just of her feminine components. But my brothers and sisters, in the work that I was assigned by Mother to do, to be the one that turns the keys and opens the membranes with the sacred ones that gather in my classes that are usually handpicked. They know in their heart when they're supposed to be there. And Mother picks them very carefully for the exact right week to come to class. And then we get the assignments from her. And when they arrive usually in ego identification. But because of the presence of the masters in those gatherings, they leave in mastery, and also because of the tasks they perform on behalf of Mother and the cosmos. Those classes that happened, during those events, there have been times when I have been privileged to not only speak directly to the Mother that is the positive aspect, the Mother from which the other aspects have been externalized, but I have at times spoken to over 40 of those goddesses at once, so they can all speak together. But when we go outside the cosmos, we will find perhaps something like 144 levels out, depending on where we are in our ascension process, goddesses that preside over larger and larger rings of light. But beyond that, there are unformed goddess presences, like puddles of consciousness that lie in vastness, layer upon layer beyond that. That is what we refer to as the infinite. first time I spoke to one of those mothers or portions of mother's psyche was in May of 2007. I asked her if there was anything other than herself beyond her. She said that the first time she knew that we existed was when I spoke to her and the positive mother spoke to her, that she had no inkling that any life beyond her in higher levels existed. She didn't know that she had boundaries. After days of searching, she finally came back and said, yes, there's multiple layers above. I was able to communicate with another presence, another mother beyond. My brothers and sisters, life is like the atom. These layers of consciousness above us are the equivalent of the space between the protons and the neutrons and the electrons of the atom. In this, it never ends. Yet a most startling revelation came through the writings of Isis, who was in fact an aspect on Earth of this positive mother. And that is that the first planet she created was the Earth, that the Earth is her place of abode, and that she is waiting for our ascension process to bring us into levels where we can see her and touch her and be with her here on Earth. That the diversity on Earth is the result of the fact that it is the cradle of civilization, the mother of all stellar bodies. That we are, in fact, on Earth, in the center of all existence. And that it is from this mother that dwells here on Earth that all other aspects were formed. In other words, we are in the most holy place in all the cosmos, the sacred footstool, which is the Earth, of the one true being. A most extraordinary revelation. Thank you for sharing this time with me. My love to my light family, who are within earshot of these words.
We hope you have enjoyed today's show, Walking Between the Worlds with Al Mean.